Our scripture reading this morning is out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. I would invite you to keep your Bibles handy or to take out a pew Bible, because we are going to look at a couple of other scriptures this morning as well. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He had told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing the people everywhere. All right. Just a little bit of review so that we are all on the same level playing field this morning, okay? We started out 2 weeks ago talking about the fact that there is authority that the Father gives to His children. Then last week we talked about the use of that power and authority is only by seeing what the Father does and doing it. That means that we have to be in communion with Him. And we talked a little bit about how is it that we can be in communion and see what the Father wants us to see and then do it. Today we're going to talk more about that power and that authority. But I want us to understand that there are parameters, there are rules that God expects that to work by. And we need to learn what those rules are, because if we want to see God's hand glorified, His work glorified, we have to follow and obey the rules. How many of us truly want to make sure that God is glorified through our lives? I want to see every hand. Amen? But sometimes it's hard, right? That's when we have to rely on that extra helping of power that comes through the Spirit. So this morning I want you to recognize that I looked up two of the Greek words, the one that is used for power. It is dunamis, and it is used 116 times in the New Testament alone. So do you think that the authors of the New Testament, starting in the Gospels and working all the way through all the other writings, were very aware of the fact that God had given power? Now, I want you to know that not every 116 of those are about God's power. Some of them are about the authority that Satan has usurped. So we need to recognize, but we also need to know that there is never, when it comes to a contest between our Heavenly Father and Satan, there is never any doubt who is the one in control. So let's remember that. Now, authority. Exousia. 93 times. 93 times in the New Testament. Do you think this is an important concept if it's in the Scriptures 93 times? I would think that we need to recognize that God wants us to understand authority. Now, I want you to place in your mind, though, every time you see the word in authority, I want you to replace it with two words. Might and right. Might and right. That's what authority is. And when you go to the Greek and look it up, it says that that is the concept. So every time you see the word in authority in the Scriptures, you need to say, okay, we see here that not only is the power there, but I have the right to use that power. And that's what we have to learn to understand. God gives to His children might and right to use His authority for His works. All right. Now I want you to envision God up in heaven and see this line coming down and coming down, and the Spirit brings it down and puts it within us. And then what does it do? It doesn't stay here. Why is it here? So that it can go right on out. I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus is walking along. There's crowds all around him. He's pressed in on every side. And people are yanking at him and reaching and saying, oh, this is Jesus. Hallelujah. We're so excited. You know, they'd seen the miracles. They were just... And someone touches him and he senses that power has gone out of him. Remember that story?
Yes.
The woman. The woman who believed if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. Hallelujah, what faith. But that power didn't stay in Jesus. Where did it go? Where God was working. Right out to heal that lady who had faith. If I just touch. Amen? All right. So, one, I want us to recognize that the basis of our authority is that it is our position in Christ. No one can use that authority if they are not Christ. Now let's go to a biblical example. All right. The seven sons of Sceva. Remember that story? They were Jewish people. And they would go out and they would do exorcisms. They would cast out demons. So they saw that Jesus' disciples were being very successful. They saw that Jesus was successful. And they saw, and so this is further on in the New Testament, Paul was successful. And they said, aha, you know, did you see what they're doing? The formula is, use the name of Jesus. And while we're at it, let's throw in Paul's name. So, the seven sons of Sceva went up and they started confronting the demon and they're trying to cast the demon out. And the demon answers them and says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? You see, they hadn't accepted Jesus. They didn't have the right to use that name. We have been given the right only by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and saying, Holy Spirit, come, the Counselor, come, fill me that I may be your vessel. And so, what happened to these seven that didn't have the right? They got beat up, their clothes got torn off, they went running and screaming. One demonized person against seven. And they couldn't control them. Think about the power that comes through the demons. Is there power? Yes, there is. But it is not greater than God's. So we do not fear. We need to know who we are and that as children of God, we have the right and He has given us the authority. So He's given us the right and the might to be His emissaries. To carry out the Father's work. The right and the might. So, fear is not something that you and I should embrace. If we sense ourselves, because to be honest with you, the first time that I became aware of evil spirits, I was not feeling very confident. Okay? I'm going to be honest with you. I had to learn. And I had to learn to stand. I had to learn to know that I, in Christ, not of myself, but in Christ as His child, had the right and the might. All right. So, number one, we do not own it. It is not ours. Whose is it? It is God's. We are stewards. We are emissaries. All right. Secondly, we must always line up with what God's purpose is. We talked a lot last week about that intimacy with God. That is the only way that you and I can know when we've been called to cast out a demon. It's the only way that you and I can know when we are called to command healing. Did you ever think about that? Jesus commanded healing. He didn't say, oh, please. He said, be healed. Stand up and walk. Pick up your pallet. Why? Because he knew what the Father wanted. And he did what the Father wanted. All right, so use it rightly. Now, one of the temptations that goes with right and might is pride. Guys, we got to remember, it's not us. It is God flowing through us. Never lose sight of the fact that it is God. It is God, it is God, it is God. Did you get that? Whose is it?
God.
All right. Okay. Now, we need to also not presume to know the mind of God. We need to, what did Jesus say? I do what I see my Father doing. He stressed that over and over. He mentioned the fact that he was lining up with the Father's will. I do as my Father commands me. So we need to make sure that we just don't presume that God wants to do this in that situation. We need to ask him, Father, what is your will? And then pray according to what he reveals. We need to learn to expect that he will tell us what he wants. He doesn't want us to walk around blind. He said, I came to bring sight to the blind. Remember? Therefore, it's a matter of learning to yield to that Spirit. All right. You've heard the name and claim it teachings. I want to say that I don't believe that's a scriptural teaching. The scriptural teaching is to see what the Father's doing and then claim it. I don't get to name and claim whatever I want. It's not a willy-nilly privilege. It is a stewardship privilege. Again, how many times have we made our own plans only to realize that those weren't the plans that God had? I'll tell you, if Camp Joy had all the things that I had planned for it, it would be the fanciest camp ever. Wasn't God's plans. We have to learn to crucify ourselves and our plans and let God lead. Now, I want us to also recognize that if God says to do something and we second guess him and we postpone and we refuse to do it, we are in rebellion. I want you to realize it's not always easy to step forward and do what God says to do. I told you the first time that I came face to face with something that I knew was a spiritual demon, I was not filled with confidence. I had to go there knowing that I had been commanded. I had to go there and stay there to see it through. I had to learn to walk in faith. Guys, you got to remember, faith is doing what we see with spiritual eyes. Nowhere in any of those promises do I see the words, faith will be easy and you will always want to follow the way of God. But we are challenged to do that. There is also timing. God may reveal to us that something is going to happen, but until he says, go and speak it, wait, because his timing can be later. That's hard for us. To know that God is going to do something, but we have to sit on it. You know, that's a faith builder. That's a faith builder. So we wait for God's timing. All right. Now, I'm going to give you 10 commandments for authority. The first commandment is that God is our ultimate source and only source of our authority. Commandment number 2. We are channels We are stewards. We are slaves. Those are all words that we can say, but we are the ones that simply do the Father's bidding. Number three, we are responsible before God for how we use that authority. I want us to recognize as human beings, one of the things that we are told that is going to be a temptation is the pride of life. And I want you to think about how being able to have authority and to cast out demons and to heal people, how did the disciples respond? They came back and they were so excited. They're jumping up and down and telling Jesus, "Oh, look, we did all the things you said we could do." They were excited. And Jesus said, "But don't be excited about that. Be excited that your name is written in the book of life." You know, it's awful easy for us to just get excited because we see something happening and to lose sight of what the main point is. Number four, we need to watch for God's authority flowing through others. And when we see that, recognize what God is doing. Not the individual. Recognize what God is doing. Everything you and I do is supposed to bring glory to God, not to ourselves. Number five, always be subject to God. Number six, if we refuse to obey others in authority, we are in rebellion. Now, I want to spend a little time here because we have to understand how authority is in our lives. We have to understand that that authority comes from several different places because God has placed us in different situations. You and I don't have all the same authorities in our lives. All right? Number one, our authority belongs to God. Number two, as I come down that, then I have to recognize that He's placed others in authority over me. Guess what, guys? You, the church, have authority over the pastor in some ways. You are the hirers and the firers of the pastor. So you better be in line with God's will. Because I don't want to get fired early, and I don't want to be here longer than God wants me to be here. So I recognize that there are certain things that you have authority over me in. There are other things that the pastor has authority over the church in. I am what is considered an overseer. And that's the term that you find in the Bible. Appoint overseers in every church. You all have appointed me as an overseer. Now, the next thing is we always have to stop and look at what the individual has asked us to do. Because one, we don't want to be in rebellion. But number two, we don't want to submit ourselves to something that the individual has not been told by God that we should do. When we went through our Bill Gothard training, it talked to us about the steps to appeal to authority. There are steps that we are to look at and to show respect to those who are in authority over us. And guys, if we don't go through that, we are choosing to possibly live in rebellion to God. You're not being in rebellion to the authority over you. Well, yes, you are, but you're also being in rebellion to God. And this is something we need to stop and think about. But sometimes, because we're human, we make mistakes. That's why you have to take time to evaluate whether that individual has heard from God, and if you don't think they have, then you learn how to appeal to them in the proper manner. Another sermon. All right. Number 7, learn to subject yourselves to those that are in godly authority. Number 8, authority is never used for our own benefit. Number 9, we don't insist for others to obey us. Okay. Do you remember the scriptures that says, judge not, lest you be judged? Okay. What is the principle there? Who is the judge? Here comes the judge, it's Jesus, it's God, okay? Not you and I. So, what we need to recognize here is that, again, they are responsible before God. Not before me, before God. If, for example, I would share something with an individual and they should be doing that and they choose not to do that, that is between them and God. I'm not the one who's supposed to make them conform. I'm the one to give the biblical principle. That is the responsibility all of us have. We are to give biblical principles and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work, which is the convicting. For some of us, that takes longer than others. Number 10, God is the one who will defend our authority. That's not what we need to do. So instead of getting in a snit, letting us be transformed into an ungodly person, we say, Lord, this is yours. If I heard from you, it's also your job to convict them. Do you know how many times that my wife and I have had conversations and I will think that God's saying something and she'll think God's saying something else? And then what I start doing is, Lord, and it's usually, Lord, convict her. Until he gets a hold of me and he says, oh, you might be wrong. And God will either turn one of us or the other around. And he does it over and over. There are things that I have been so sure about, and I'll talk to her. For example, when we went to Puerto Rico, the Lord laid it on my heart long before he laid it on hers. And I said, okay, Lord, if she's supposed to go with me, which I feel like she is, you will have to lay it on her heart. Well, she went with me. And I don't know. I think she was ready and willing by the time we got there. So, I thought so. It wasn't that she was submitting to my authority. Because... yes, there's been those occasions. All right. So I hope you got those 10 things down. Those are the guidelines we need to understand about authority. It is something that is wonderful and we need to understand it. Like I said, 116 times. And then for the other term, let me see, I'll get them right now. I've got it written down. Power is 116. Authority is 93. 93 times in the New Testament alone. I want us to understand this foundation. Because when we have a strong foundation, we can stand. We won't be deceived. When we don't have a strong foundation, we get deceived easily. I want you to think and picture for a moment this soil that is just weak and collapses, and you're trying to stand on it, and it just won't hold you up. I want us to understand, can you imagine trying to build a house on the sand without going down to the bedrock? The water comes, the sand washes out, and the house falls in. And it doesn't have to be sand. It can be dirt. I've seen whole hillsides just washed down. You've seen it as well. That's why we need a strong foundation. How firm a foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord? But it's learning what He wants us to stand on. And that is to stand on the Father, His power, His authority, and be subject and live in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You that the joy does overcome all the troubles and the trials, because we see that we do have victory and we have a hope. And we live in that hope, Lord Jesus. So, Father, as we go, remind us to walk in the hope and in the joy, to walk in Your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.